everyone. You love the music, now be a part of the movement. Press Play is building a home for artists and fans just like you, and now you can help shape it. All you gotta do is go to pressplay.me and grab you some merch and wear it really loud and really proud, and of course, buy it for everybody you know. And know that you're helping musicians and music stay real, independent, and alive. And here's something really special. You can send a personal message to the artist of your choice. If we've done an interview with them, you have an opportunity to write them a note. You can write them a small message, or you can write them a whole letter, and it will go directly to them. Just click the link on any of our interviews, write from the heart, and let your voice be heard. So tune in, rock with us, and press play. Get the gear, send the love. Music lives when the fans do.
Hey everybody, welcome to Press Play Conversations. I am the Don. With me is Tina, the CEO of Press Play and Songmates. As you can tell, I'm sporting new merch.
Me too.
See, on pressplay.me, it's that easy to find. Go to the merch store and be like us. And you can pick different colors too. And so, but the man of the hour, we're not here to talk about us, is Rick Hughes. How you doing, Rick?
Hi, guys. I'm doing great. I'm very happy to be chatting with you today.
Well, I'm happy you decided to take time out of your life to talk to us. Now, we're going to kick this off with a song. It's your single, and it's leading into the conversation about the members of the group and how it came together. I want to hook this up right now. Let me pull up the real me right now. That is absolutely wonderful to watch for many reasons. One, if you notice those members, that is not AI, where those three members surrounding Rick, those were really there. Rudy Sarzo on bass, Brad Gillis of Ozzy, Speak of the Devil, and Night Ranger fame, and Tommy Aldridge, who Rudy and him played in Whitesnake also along with Ozzy. But really, it's like a Speak of the Devil reunion with Rick being the your vocals are freaking killer, too, by the way. Holy smokes. Do you still got it or what? My God, Tina, right?
The whole thing. Yeah, it's fantastic. Even now, the outfit's fantastic.
The outfits, everything. Rudy's bass line is incredible in that, too. Talk about these guys. I think is this getting back together after 43 years, you being the, I don't want to say the odd man out of those three who have played together. What was that like being in the room with them, and what energy did you feel?
It was surreal. It was, more than a dream come true, because I never dreamt that I would one day be surrounded with these guys. But more importantly, it was fantastic. And the part that you played is one of my favorite part of the song.
Exactly.
Yeah, because that's where Tommy Aldridge, that's where you hear all this, man, this guy is a master. He goes with the beat, and then he changes the beat right in the middle of that section. And then he comes back in the beat, and then he goes and and it goes like this, and it goes like this. There's not a lot of drummer that can do that with taste, you know?
Right.
Like, you have to pay attention to what he's doing, because he's not trying to steal the show. He just brings the song like that.
Absolutely. He's not trying to be, well, here's another thing too. Speaking of Tommy and he's not trying to be Keith Moon, but you don't try to sound like Roger Daltrey. I mean, this is a Who song, The Real Me. What I love is you stayed true to you. You didn't try to replicate what Roger did.
Thank you. Well, that's part of the, that's part of the experience. Even my songs, when I record a song, let's say I recorded 2 years ago, and then we go back in the rehearsal hall and we revisit the songs that I recorded 2 years ago for a show, then I have to sound like me right now, you know? I'm not a robot. I'm not a machine. I'm not AI. Right. It has to be different. Every time I do it, it has to be a little different. My intention, the way I approach it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely I do. And I love that. And I mean, that's what I mean. It was like the three of them as the backing musicians to you never missed a beat together. Like they had their instant chemistry back. I mean, that's what it was like. But I also want to point out too that in post-production, the video, you had a director named Matthew Lucas, but also Jean-Marc Lorrain, who does editing. I mean, let's not take away from the fact of how good that video looked.
Mm-hmm.
That video looked solid.
You're so kind, because it's true. I mean, I'm here in Quebec. This is the state-of-the-art studio for 3D technology, but it's in Los Angeles. It's in Burbank. So we had to book the studio, book the guys, made sure that everything came together. And once we did that, this was a big gamble, because a place like that doesn't come cheap. You know, it's used for film. So, you know, the film industry has much more money than music and musicians right now. You know what I'm saying? So, but they were kind enough to make us a really, really good deal on the room for that day. So I'm very grateful to them for that. Plus, when we came back with the stuff, you know, in French it's a disque dur, you know, on the computer, the hard drive, we had a hard drive that was full with all those information that we've just filmed with the four of us. So we came back with that and we had to do the video here. That's when we hired Jean-Marc Lorrain, which is one of the best here in Montreal for movie making. So yeah, we didn't cut corner anywhere. We did it out of love. Love for the music. You know, this is a one-shot deal. That I'm with Tommy Aldridge, Brad Gillis, and Rudy Sarzo. I mean, even when we were booking the flights and the studio, and I knew my manager, everybody was saying it's gonna happen. But I truly believed it when I was doing it with them. Then I knew it was happening, because I couldn't believe it, man.
How did that go?
Those guys are royalties.
Yeah. How did this come together?
Oh, man, pure luck.
Yeah.
Pure luck, Dina. Well, not pure. I mean that as a joke, but there's a good part of luck in life. You know, my mom used to say, you make your luck, you know, you make your luck. So if I told my manager, I want some songwriting outside of the box. I don't want it to be me that writes all the songs on the album. I want a guitar hero, you know, a guitar wizard that's going to write the riff that I'm not able to write, because I'm just a rock singer, you know. I play guitar, I write songs, but they're mostly ballad, or, you know, I don't do the riffs. So we got a good friend of mine, Jesse Bradman, that was a keyboard player for Saints and Sinners.
Mm-hmm.
So we reached out to him, And he says, well, I'm doing songs with Brad Gillis right now. Maybe you'd be interested in that. I said, what? Say that again. Did I hear you right? Brad Gillis of Night Ranger? Yeah, yeah. Okay, let me hear that. So I said, yes. As soon as I heard the song, they were tailor-made for me. And that's how the connection came. So we kind of became friends with Brad. And when it was time to record The Real Me, I knew we needed top players for that, because that's what the Who sound is, a bit like Zeppelin sound, where if you concentrate, you hear Keith Moon. If you concentrate, you hear John Entwistle. And same goes with Zeppelin. You want to hear John Bonham? Just think about it and you'll hear it. So I said to my manager, I said, what? No, Brad Gillis said to us when we said we were looking for star players for that song. He says, why don't we ask Tommy and Rudy? We haven't played together in like 40 years. I said, yeah, why don't we ask him? Can you help us with that? Sure I can. So he did help us. So I owe it a lot to Brad Gillis. Not only is he, in my book, one of the best guitar player in the world with the best sound and the best attitude. He's like up there in my, I'll be grateful to him for the rest of my life for this.
It's always nice when you meet very friendly and generous people in the music industry, isn't it?
True. And life has a funny way to bring people in your life that connects with you, you know? And the other ways goes too, you know. Sometimes you're gonna meet people and you right away you know that this won't go long, won't go far, you know. Not because you're better or they're worse. No, it's just a question of having the same attitude towards friendship and collaboration, or you know.
Right. Well, Just hearing that, I want you to put yourself in Brad Gillis's spot for a minute. Can you imagine Randy Rhoads tragically dies? Now you're coming in to fill in his shoes for a live album and play. What do you think that kind of pressure is like? You're coming after probably, albeit if Randy had lived, he'd go down as probably the greatest, arguably the greatest guitar player ever. I mean, he didn't have enough to really build his legacy, but I mean, what he did do with Quiet Riot and Ozzy is, you know, legendary. But what do you think that was like? What do you think that was like, Rick?
It was unique, because when you think about it, in rock history, this is the first time it ever happened to any guitar player. I have to fill, Randy Rhoads was not a big guy, but he had big shoes to fill, you know?
I know, right? He was not a big, he was a small guy, but boy, he played like a god. I mean,
he sure did. And his songwriting was out of this world. But yeah, when you think about it, it's like it's a unique situation that will probably never happen again. And it's him that lives through it and that can speak about it. And I mean, he's such a, we're talking about Brad here. He's such happy, go lucky guy, you know, light. He's not dark, you know. So I guess it had to be him, you know?
You know, I went to see Night Ranger last year with Brett Michaels, and he always does Crazy Train, like as part of the Night Ranger set. And it's incredible, right? I mean, you're watching Brad, and of course I love Night Ranger. I mean, so all the work he's done with Night Ranger, with Jack Blades. I mean, what a duo those two are. So, yeah, I mean, and now you come in, you do this. We just played The Real Me. There were some other songs on that album. Now, Brad's, I think, on two other tracks, right, on that album?
Yeah.
So that's even everybody going out to get Redemption. realize Brad's on two other tracks, just Brad and Rick, where Brad's a special guitar player on the track. So it is worth listening to because Brad brings his style, and it's unmistakable when you hear it. And I think it's great that Brad decided to do. How did you get him to do two other tracks? Was he just, yeah, I'd love to do it. Is that what happened?
Well, the thing is that, like I said earlier, I was looking for songs, and he proposed two of his songs that I accepted. When I, at first listen, I said, yeah, I want that on my album.
Carry the Torch and Shake My Soul?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he kind of co-produced those songs with John Webster, because what he gave us as a demo, we kept some part of it and just added my voice and changed a few things in here and there. So that's how we got him on the album. Uh-huh. And I hope he's going to be on the next one too.
Yeah, well, let's keep it up, right? Well,
yeah.
Also on this album, and I hope I pronounce this right, Qua en l'homme. Did I do that right?
What? Croire en l'homme.
Croire en l'homme.
Croire?
Croire?
That's very French.
Croire.
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 En l'homme.
En l'homme.
En l'homme.
Croire en l'homme. Croire en l'homme.
Believe in man.
Believe in humanity or man. Yeah.
No. Believe in man. You know, like man, woman, believe in man. Don't do. You know, there's good in man. Like we hear about some crazy stuff that man will do. You know what? The evil that man do. You know, we know that saying. But there's good man too.
Amen.
So the song is directed to that, saying there's some good guys out there. You know, there's not only abuser and narcissistic and stuff. No. There's some very cool guys out there.
I know. I hope I meet one.
You look like one.
No, you are joking.
Thank you. You
know what I love about that, you know, strategically, is you brought in Lee Aaron, a woman, to sing on that song. I thought that's a clever move.
In French.
Quoi en l'homme.
Yeah.
See, I'll get there if I keep doing it. Tina, did that work? Did that sound good?
I like it when people have fun. So I thought to myself that she would have fun with this song because it's in French. She's Canadian, so she knows a bit of French. Mm-hmm. And it's a rocker. You know, the song's a rocker. Mm-hmm. So we proposed it to her because if she would have said, no, I'd rather sing in English, she would have went with another song. But we proposed that song, and she said, yeah, I really want to do this.
I love it.
You don't have to be honest, Tina. You don't have to be so damn honest. I said, oh, that's you're like, nah, great. You're going to go, oh, yeah, it's really good. Well, you know, it keeps me humble.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I don't need to be walking around talking like I know French. And everybody goes,
thank goodness. He's showing us all up right now, right here.
Who does?
Rick.
Well, he's French.
It's fantastic. It's
how about this? You ready for this one? Croissant.
Croissant.
It's croissant. Yeah.
See, croissant. You didn't that right. Say it again.
I'm too American, right? I say everything wrong. Like croissant. Like it's
let's talk about the title of the album. The reason it's
Redemption.
Yeah. One of the reason it's called Redemption, it's because there's a couple of words that are written the same and almost pronounced the same in French as in English. And redemption is one of them. In French, you say redemption.
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 Et voilà. And it's written the same way. So I was in my car and I was thinking, you know, they were throwing stuff at me for title. And I said to myself, no, we need something bilingual that's written the same way. And that's introspective because that's the kind of album I want to do.
Sure. Tina, can you please say it?
Redemption.
Say it like a French person.
I can't. No.
Yes, you can. Come on, Tina.
Ré.
Da.
Da.
Psion.
That's where you lose me at the end. But further, let's go a little bit down that path. So said you wanted to create an album about redemption. Why?
Because I wanted to make an album where each song would talk about how I see life, and I see life in a good way. I'm a very positive person. It's very, very rare that I see negatives around me or around the world. I tend to stay positive all the time. And the way to do that for me is to always focus on how I'm feeling about myself. So if you look up redemption is a way of life where everything you do it with your heart. And if it comes out wrong, then you realize it. You focus on your mistake, not the other people's mistake, yours. That to me is a form of redemption. So each day you wake up the next day and you're almost sure to not redo the mistakes you've done the day before, if you've done some.
Sure. So which of the songs on the album really brings that to the surface for you? Like if
Perfect
you had
a World.
Perfect World.
Yeah, Perfect World. Because when this song was first heard from my friends around and everybody says Perfect World, that's a bit ironic with everything that's happening. And I said, well, no, because we're in my house with my wife and my kids and my family, we're in a perfect world. We don't let anxiety come inside the house. You know, we live in a perfect world.
Well, I understand that wholeheartedly. I mean, that's kind of how we live too, because there is so much negativity out there. I totally get where you're coming from, but you're going to play a little bit for us?
Yeah, I was going to play. Well, I was going to play Quoi Elom.
Okay.
Quoi Elom?
Quoi Elom.
Let's hear it.
Because of Lee Aaron being a part of this, and I know there are a lot of Lee Aaron. We have somebody on our station that works with us, Dawn Natasha. She's a big Lee Aaron fan. Dawn's actually from Quebec, Montreal. And Lee Aaron's a huge influence on a lot of people too. So I think it's great to have that combination because of the impact Lee has. So it brings more well-rounded song with her doing the backing vocals along with the theme of the song. So yeah, so let's do a little of this. I love this song. Go ahead.
And you know, so something else about Lee Aaron is that on my album, there's four guitar players. There's Sean Kelly, who plays with Lee Aaron. Sean Kelly, Brad Gillis, Robbie Krieger, and Jacob de Raps. So that's part of the sound too, that you're on Croire en l'Homme. There's Lee, but there's Sean. That's the sound you're hearing, yeah.
Her air familiarity, yeah. Well, let's do this right now.
That's Sean.
Yep. God, I love that. So good.
Thank you. Yeah. the lyrics are incredible. But well, it says it's a matter that it gives me goosebumps.
Well, I want to tie it in. I want to tie it into that hoodie or sweatshirt you're wearing again. That had a cashmere kind of vibe in the beginning to it. There you go. That's the four album. That's the four album, right?
Yeah, exactly.
With Black Dog.
Masterpiece.
Black Dog's on it. And
Stairway.
Stairway to Heaven. But that song had that cadence of cashmere in the beginning, that kind of Led Zeppelin front. And that's exactly what it was reminding me of.
Mm-hmm.
And you come
that's in. Awesome.
Oh, I love it. What's your favorite Led Zeppelin song and why? Why does it affect you?
Oh, you know what? I sing with a symphonic orchestra here in Montreal. And we do a classic rock show with the whole shebang. And I sing Kashmir, Stairway to Heaven, Black Dog. Imagine Black Dog with an orchestra. They just give me the A note. And the room is very quiet. Hey, Mama, send away your mom. And people go crazy, man. They go crazy.
I was hoping you'd sing that.
You should see that. It's crazy, man.
Dude, you got to
check it out.
Could you please do Don't Let the Sun Beat Down on My Face? Can you do that right now?
Okay. Wait.
Oh, yes.
Don't let the sun beat down upon my face. Stars to fill my dreams. I'm a traveler of both time and space to be where I have been. You want to hear my.
I feel like it's been throwing you money or something.
Yes.
But guys, Led Zeppelin to me is I became a singer when I saw the movie The Song Remains the Same when I was 15 years old. I swear to God, I was like a ship lost at sea with no anchor, the engines were out of gas. I was just drifting. And then something draw me there. It was in the basement of an auditorium, a school auditorium. It was playing. My dad, my mom had the record of Zeppelin, so I knew about Zeppelin. So I went and I saw the movie and I came out a different person. I swear. I swear to God.
Do you remember the moment in that movie that hit you?
Well, when Robert Plant went, at the end of All Out of Love. But my point is that so I'm 15 years old. I'm another guy. I start to I get a guitar, my brother gets a drum, and we start rehearsing 16, 17. We meet the Mike and Mike. We form Sword, make an album, 1986. We tour with Mortarhead, 87. I'm in the UK, I'm in London, and we're shooting a video. Okay, we shoot the video. So my manager comes to my hotel room and he says, I'm going to go check out the reels because at that time it was, you know, real.
Yeah.
Real reels.
Film. Yeah.
Real reels.
Film. Yeah. Thank you. So he says, I'm going to go to the place where they're doing the editing. It's in downtown London. You want to come with me? I said, no, I'm a bit tired. Then I thought to myself, I'm in London. We're leaving in 2 days. I might as well go. So I go. I said, wait for me. I'm coming. So we get there. We there was a guard at the entrance because it was the place to shoot to edit video in London. So I'm there, take the elevator, go to the room, and the guy's waiting for us. There's a picture of Robert Plant on the wall. I said to the guy, "That's my idol." He says, "Well, you're lucky. He's here today."
What?
Oh yeah. So I said, "What? Yeah, yeah. He was shooting." You remember
did your heart go in your throat when you knew that Robert Plant was in the same building?
Oh, man, that is 1987. I don't know exactly how I felt, but I know I was searching for him. So I go, yeah, he was doing the video for Tall Cool One. You remember that?
Oh, yeah, his solo. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tall Cool
One. Because I'm a Tall crazy. Cool One. And there's some Zeppelin. First time that he put some Zeppelin reference at the end of the song, you know, there's. So they're doing the stuff. I said, okay, I'm going to do some stuff. So I searched around the building and I couldn't find him. So I come back to the room. They says, okay, we got to leave. So you didn't see him, but he's here. I said, okay. So we take the elevator back. The door opens. He's right there on the phone. And at that time, there was payphones, you know. So he was on a payphone. So I said to my manager, let's wait a bit. So I had a chat with him for like 15, 20 minutes.
Seriously?
Robert Plant, yeah.
What was the first thing you asked him?
Listen to this. This is word for word what I said to him, okay? Good. I said to him, I said, Mr. Plant, I need to talk to you. There's a big connection with Montreal and Led Zeppelin and Robert Plant. He's really, really well-liked. He loves to come to Montreal, so he knows we speak French and everything. So I said to him, I said, I'm from Montreal. I'm in a metal band called Sword. I'm your biggest fan. And he said to me, Led Zeppelin was never heavy metal. He says that to me. You know what I responded? I said, I beg to differ, sir. But for me, Communication Breakdown 1969 is the birth of heavy metal. And he responded like if he had a sword in his hand and he went like this. Touché.
That's an interesting thing because Black Sabbath always got the metal moniker. But you're right, though, because, you know, Zeppelin, that Communication Breakdown, I mean, and not for nothing, but even the Beatles with Helter Skelter, that was kind of into that leading into the metal thing. So I think there was just that whole combination, but Communication Breakdown, I could definitely see it. I love his reaction to that.
I love him so much, almost as a father figure, that I turn something that for him was a bit negative to be associated to heavy metal into something positive, you know, by saying it's the birth of heavy metal. It brought Zeppelin to another place with that song. You went this song went to 11.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Rob Reiner.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to show you something while we're talking about that.
And then while he's doing that, John Bonham, he would smash the drums.
So when you come into my house, this is the first thing you see. That's what he signed for me.
I can't really. Can you get it more in the frame there? A little bit back. A little bit back. A little bit back. Back, back, and back.
What
back,
is it?
A little bit back. I can't see the top of it.
Well, the top is it's a picture of him that was taken by the daughter of Jimmy Page.
Hey, what's in the middle?
That's Scarlett Page.
Yeah. What's in the middle?
This is his autograph, and it says to Rick, "Bon chance, Sword, Robert Plant."
Wow!
Wow!
What are the odds?
Led Zeppelin fan, and he actually named his son Bonham. That's his first name, Bonham.
Who?
But what are the odds? You know, I'm in London, and man, I got a private meeting with my idol by pure luck.
Well, I was saying while you were going to get that John Bonham was a man that would smash the drums. He was an aggressive drummer, which also leads into the metal thing. He was a hard drummer. I'm sure he had to replace those skins constantly the way he would hammer.
Yep. Hammer of the gods.
Yeah. He was
this
incredible
guy. Incredible.
Well, I love that you tied that in and that story and I love how, I mean, one of the things we do is song stories, and we're going to show you that at the end, because it's those stories that make us, and it also allows people to relate to you in a different way, right? You're connecting to people when you tell a story like that, because how a movie can change your life or a song. And there you go. You were there. And my favorite, Tina, do you have a favorite Led Zeppelin song?
You know, honestly, I love Stairway to Heaven. To me, it's just the ultimate Led Zeppelin. And even like when Heart did their rendition of it to Led Zeppelin.
The Kennedy Center?
just tears. Yeah. It's freaking beautiful. Yeah.
Mine is, oh my God.
Okay. So let me tell you mine while you think about
it. Oh yeah. Please tell me your favorite. I thought you did, but you didn't really. Yeah. Go ahead.
I agree with Dina that Stairway to Heaven is their masterpiece. This is one of the most beautiful songs ever written. But my favorite Zeppelin song is Since I've Been Loving You. To me, the vocal performance of Robert Plant on Led Zeppelin 3 on Since I've Been Loving You is the most powerful male vocal rock performance of all time. It's incredible what he does with his voice on this song. Listen to it with headphones and think about that it was done in 1971. No overdubs. It was all
no autotune.
Exactly, no autotune. And at that time, you went from the start to the end, and sometimes they would take part of this and that and put it together, but mostly they would take the best track, you know.
Right.
But Since I've Been Loving You is like, man.
That is a fantastic
masterclass in rock singing. That's the song, my friend.
Since I've Been Loving You, people go out there and know that Rick, that's his favorite song. Mine, if anyone cares, is What Is and What Should Never Be. That will always be my favorite on Led Zeppelin 2 because it starts off so mellow, like a roller coaster starting to go up and then starts to climb and then the pre-chorus, and then when you will be mine by taking your time. And then that, can you do that part?
I sang that song a lot of times. I was in a Zeppelin cover band for a while.
My God.
Castle wind, see a spin, sail away, live today. Hey, whoa!
That's it. That's what I'm talking about. Then you will be. And that's what I love is it's that hard driving. Da-na-na-na-na-na, and then you will be. It's that melodic change there. And then they do that. And it's three changes in one section. And it's gorgeous. So.
Yeah, the genius of Jimmy Page.
Yeah.
Because Robert Plant did all the layers and stuff. But it's Jimmy that brought all that. That magic to Zeppelin.
Yep. Getting Robbie Krieger to be on this. That's another pinch me thing. I mean, you're talking about one of the most iconic musicians on the planet who played with arguably the greatest lyricist frontman ever in Jim Morrison. I mean, I can't imagine being in those rehearsal studios or the rehearsal space when they're coming up with stuff. So what was that like playing with Robbie?
Almost the same applies to Robbie Krieger that to Zeppelin, because like I said, Zeppelin got me started, but after that it opened a Pandora box where after Zeppelin it was the Doors. When I was like 16 or 17, I read the book No One Here Gets Out Alive. Then I thought to myself, man, I'm not crazy, because there's another guy like me, his name is Jim Morrison, because I felt so different from everybody, you know. And I was, I guess, and the Doors music followed me to my 20s. I was listening to the Doors all the way, man. I would fall asleep with my Walkman and listening to the Doors and to Jim Morrison's lyric. So I never thought in my wildest dream that one day Robbie Krieger would play on one of my albums. So when it happened, I was like, I couldn't believe it.
So so you would say that Robert Plant and Jim Morrison are two influences, right? Of you?
Yep.
Who's a third? Yep. Who would be a third influence on you musically?
Musically? I would say Ozzy. Yeah. I was a big Ozzy fan. Yeah. Ozzy was the best, man.
There's no one that could ever sound like him vocally. Ever.
True. Exactly. And not only that, it's his persona, you know. He was a star, but he didn't act like a star. He was a regular Joe, you know. When he would do interview, he would He would stay very humble and very grounded. So, yeah, Ozzy was a big influence. I had a lot of influence. My very, very first influence was Elvis. My mom was a big Elvis Presley fan, so there was Elvis music throughout all my childhood. So I know all the songs. I played Elvis songs. I sang them. I sang them for my mom. And
what was your favorite song to sing to your mom, Elvis-wise?
It was, there was a lot of songs. Of course, That's All Right, Mama. That's all right with you. That's all right, Mama. Just any way you do, that's all right.
Yes. Do you know what my favorite two Elvis songs are? But Love Me, Treat Me Mean and Cruel. Oh, my God, that one. And One Night with You.
And I love that song.
Oh, my God. I know. I don't sound anything like you. I'm sorry I'm even attempting to sing in front of you. But I'm comfortable with you, Rick. I don't think you're going to judge
me. Yeah, beautiful. I love you.
Tina, try to come back. See how it is.
How buzzy?
No, good. I think we gave it enough time. Ask your question.
Rick, I want to know what's coming next for you.
I'm looking forward to do shows in 2026. Yeah, I did some shows in 2025, but I mostly worked on the album, and I did some shows here and there. So now the shows are getting ready. They're getting booked for 2026. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Are you coming down to the States?
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah?
Yeah, most definitely.
And then where do we go to find your tour dates?
Well, it's going to be on my personal site, rickhughes.co, and they'll be announced in the beginning of 2026, I guess.
Okay. I definitely want to come see if you get close enough.
Let's do the Robbie Krieger song.
Okay.
Dans le pot. I'm getting there.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Where'd it go here?
Me too. He's cracking himself up.
I am. All right, let's see if this works. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, man.
Bluesy rock.
There's so much I want to say here. One, the intro had a very CCR vibe to it, but then it went into like Roadhouse Blues, which it had that Roadhouse Blues vibe, which is arguably my favorite Doors song. Anytime a song starts with, I got up this morning and I had myself a beer, is the greatest thing in the world. I don't know why that lyric always hit me. Like, I always pictured it like it's one of those, like you just had a day and you're like, you know, your day is going to be this rough one. So I'm just going to start it off with a beer. Let's just get out of the way. That's how I always picture that song. I once
was that guy. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Roadhouse Blues.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Doors song?
9 to 5.
9 to 5?
Yeah.
Why that one?
No one here, baby, gets out alive. Everything about the Doors.
That's the title of the book.
The end. What about the end? This is the end.
Did you see the movie with Val Kilmer?
Yes, I did.
I thought he was brilliant as Jim Morrison.
Yes. Yes. And he sang too. Huh? He's the one that sang on it. Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
He sounded like him.
Well, I mean, you playing with legends and it sounds, I mean, people, you get your money's worth when you get this album because there's just so much great musicianship and collaboration. And Rick's vocals, your vocals are extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. I mean,
thank you.
My God, I want to hear you live. Like, I seriously want to, you know, as we get older, I mean, you're still a young guy. But as we get older, sometimes the vocals, you know, you hear it. Like, a lot of vocals go away. You've really taken care of your voice.
Yeah, well, I love to sing. You know, I love music. You know, what the song was playing, I was going like this. Not because I love my songs, just because I love music. Now the music starts and I don't care. It's me, it's somebody else. It's music gets me going. You know, music is my religion.
Is there a band that you've heard lately that maybe is a little unknown or maybe they are known that you've really kind of clung to lately as far as like, wow, this band is really good?
Oh, that's a good question.
It's a song story question.
I'm really into old stuff. You know, I like to listen to Elton John, to Tower of Power, to Metallica, Ozzy. I love all type of music, but mostly classic rock and old style.
With you.
Something. Come again?
With you, I have the same taste in music that you do. Apparently.
Well, have you seen?
It all depends on the moon.
Did you see the movie Rocket Man?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
All right. You know, my favorite scene in that movie that got me goosebumps is he's at Bernie Taupin. He's with him for the first time and he hands him the lyrics to your song. And to see Elton just sit at the piano and Bernie's in the other room and he just looks at the words and feels the music and he just immediately starts writing the piano to your song. Not even trying. It just comes like a spiritual. And then to see how they portrayed Bernie's face, like, oh, my God, like, that's my words. And he goes out and sees them playing it. That's what music's all about to me. That magic of he's given lyrics and Elton just knows the music to go with it.
That's incredible. Yeah, it is incredible when you think about it. The two of them, what they created together. That's why the album that was an homage to them was called Two Rooms. You remember that? Two Rooms? John Bon Jovi sang, leave on like his money. Remember?
Beautiful.
The reason it was called
Rick,
Two Rooms.
You could sing all the time. I would just sit here.
I love to sing, man.
Please.
My manager told me the other day, when you do interviews, don't sing.
Why? Oh, they want
you
to
know.
They want us to pay.
That's what I said. I feel like I should be giving you money right now.
I know.
He's going to watch that interview, so I'm going to hear about that. Anyway.
Well, you sing incredible, though. I mean, it's a great promotion. I mean, you've got great.
Thanks.
I love your voice. And Levon's a great one. But what's your ultimate Elton John song? I love learning this about you. Like, what's your favorite Elton John song?
I don't know. Daniel on a plane. Yeah. I love Daniel because my brother's name is Daniel. So my mom used to play that song at home and she would look at my brother and go, you're my favorite one.
Oh, boy.
I'm kidding.
Trust me on this.
He's older than me. He's the firstborn. So the firstborn and the mom, they got something. Cannot deny that.
Do you know one of the most beautiful, so with Elton, there's always these, and Bernie, there's these beautiful moments that happen in a song. Like in Someone Saved My Life Tonight, when they keep, when they keep repeating sugar pie, sugar man, the freedom whisper in my, and you're a butterflies are free to fly. But then he would do the repeating Someone Saved My Life Tonight is just beautiful. But the piano crashes. And then a song like Tower of Babel. I love the music cadence of that in that song. So I mean, Elton John, my God, he's, I could listen to that. Like, that'll never get old. Elton John
he's
songs
no Rick Hughes, so let's, come on.
No, he's no Rick Hughes.
But that's the thing about music. You see, we're real lovers of music because yes. When you love music, you love rock, hard rock, heavy rock, smooth and piano and all that stuff. You know, the emotions that you get from listening to music are different when you go with different styles of music, you know, like if you listen to the band, you know, you like the band.
Yeah. That's Take the Load Off Annie. Take the load exactly. off Annie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put your load right on me. Great song.
Yeah, it's a
well,
great
Rick,
song.
I will tell you, it's been an honor to have you here. Your Redemption album is fantastic. You know, the tracks we played, that's just a quarter of what you get on the album. So go out and get it. Thank you again, Rick, for being here. Again, don't go anywhere when I'm signing off right now.
Don't forget to look for tour dates in 2026.
That's it.
Yes.
Follow Rick and go see him and scream his name.
Yes.
And that when he speaks French, ladies, don't get weak in the knees. It'll be hard. But thank you again, Rick. And everyone, we'll see you next week right here on Press Play Conversations. Thank you.